You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Mark Mulroney. Mark, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Mark, we're talking about your show at Mrs. Gallery, and the title of the show is Clark, and in one way, it seems very straightforward, but I know there's more underlying the show, so before we get into the specific, you know, works in this show and the narrative, really, of this show, there's a theme in here about failure, isn't there?
Yeah. yeah, exactly.
To tell me a little bit about that. I mean, you know, there's some in the press release about it. It's not what I would have guessed seeing the show, but what's your kind of exploration or interaction with failure in this show?
I kind of asked my wife just to write about it. She sees all the work, so I kind of asked her if she'd write a press release for it. And in some ways, sometimes she'll write something and I'll go, oh, that's what it's about. Like, I don't always see it the way she sees it, and I think it's helpful to have her do some of the writing because she has her, I think, often correct ideas about what I'm doing that I'm not always even aware of. But what I was kind of going for was just a general sense that I feel like things aren't moving in the right direction, which I know is a shared feeling amongst a lot of people. And I needed, I don't know, sort of a character that I could use to explore that idea. And I initially started with Judy Garland. I used Elvis. I used Rocky Balboa. I used Hank Aaron, Jackie Robinson. And I probably made 30 paintings and drawings, and it just wasn't working. I had this one Superman painting, and my wife comes in, and a few artists who have studios next to me came in, and they all just said, like, kind of the same thing. They all said, everything else is garbage except that one Superman painting. I was like, okay, fine. I'm just going to make the entire show, rather than having multiple characters, I'm just going to make it all about Superman and Clark Kent and the relationship they have with, I guess, each other, even though they're the same person, and how I feel like no matter what Superman was trying to do in this show, he was going to fail. He was going to fall apart. He's going to disintegrate. And that's kind of where I was like, all right, I was searching for a feeling more than, I guess, a perfect explanation. I kind of wanted a sense of something.
And when you talk about, like, the times we're in and failure, you're talking, before, you said this before, you were kind of framing what you were about to say. Do you mean politically what's happening or something else?
I just think, I mean, the politics is an obvious one, unless you're on the opposite side, I guess. I feel like there's just a general breakdown of, I guess if I'm describing this as, like, even in terms of, like, I'm driving home today, I pick my wife up, we're driving down the street, I just feel like people aren't paying attention or things are falling apart. And we just can't quite get things to hold together. And so I just needed a metaphor for, I just don't think things are headed in the right direction. But I didn't want it to be morose and sad. And so at the opening we had a game to play, and I think hopefully the work is executed well enough where it's like, oh, it's kind of good and maybe sad or something along those lines. I'm not trying to depress anybody, but I imagine that happens sometimes.
Well, there's a lot of different work in this show, right? There are drawings of Clark, Clark Kent, right? In before he's Superman, and the drawings look very strange. I mean, I want to talk about the other works in the show as well, but talk just about the drawings for a minute. Without the context of the other work, go on.
Yeah, there's one drawing. It's a ballpoint pen drawing of just Superman's head, and it's the iconic Christopher Reeve from the late 70s Superman movie. And it's, you know, I don't know, 6 feet tall, 4 feet tall. I forget exactly the dimensions, but it's larger than life size, and it's just a head. And it's as accurately as I could draw that. And I needed an example of Superman intact, looking heroic, looking like the icon, so that the following paintings in which he's sort of beaten and falling apart, there's a sense of here's where he was and here's where he's going. And then there's two paintings of Clark Kent, George Reeves from the 50s TV show, and then Christopher Reeves from the 70s movie, of black and white of him just as his reporter persona, in which he's, I mean, they're black and white paintings. He's always kind of in the background. He's never the hero. He's kind of fumbling and a bit of an idiot. And it's just this sense of, like, I mean, he's sort of invisible as Clark Kent, and he's failing as Superman. Like, the dude just can't win.
Right, that's interesting. Even as Clark Kent, right, he's sort of this this nerd, right? This person who doesn't fit in.
Yeah, of course he doesn't fit in. I mean, he's not human. He's pretending, and so he's always just sort of in the background, like, just missing the story, or, oh, if only you would have been here a minute earlier, you would have met Superman. And so he's just kind of like, oh, dude, I just can't get it. I don't know. I watched those as a kid, and I remember going, like, it must be so frustrating to be Clark Kent and know how amazing you are, and you can't tell him that you're Superman, and so you're Clark Kent. You have to, like, just take all this abuse when it's like, dude, you're Superman. Like, you could just fly around and zap all these people if you wanted to.
Right. Own it in a way, as we would say now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, you don't have to, but I feel like Clark Kent is sort of pretending to be a fool for our benefit.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting. He is really. Yeah, that's true. So these straight images, that's true, that there's something about Clark Kent that remains difficult and nerdy, and the person who, yeah, we don't identify with. But the Superman paintings in this show are, of course, quite different than the Clark Kent work in many of them. I mean, there's a number of different works in this show that are so interesting, but the Superman ones, in most of them, he's kind of coming apart, right? It's an abstraction of Superman. Not always, but mostly. Sometimes it's kind of an extreme, sort of image. There's one that looks like he's hung upside down, and another one that's even more an abstraction of it, but that looks almost like a death image, right? Like Superman is dying. I don't know if that's how it was intended, but that's how I read it initially.
It's funny, like I painted, I think the one you're referring to where he's upside down and looks like he's dying, I painted it, and that was all. I stepped away, came back, looked at him, I'm like, oh, it's like Manet's Death of a Toreador, which has always been one of my favorite paintings. I wasn't consciously thinking about that painting at the time, but once I came back and looked at it, I'm all, oh, it's the upside down figure who, I mean, the Death of a Toreador is not very, it's not a, like a bloody painting, but you know, the guy's dead just the way he's laying, and there's a little bit of blood that trickles out. And it just made me think, like, oh yeah, you've been looking at this painting. You've loved this painting like for 30, 40 years. Like, it would make sense that somehow that composition would return. And I realized with something like Superman, basically all you need is the color scheme in sort of the right spots, and maybe that curl of hair that is on his forehead, and outside of that, you can kind of do anything you want to that figure, and most people recognize it as Superman because it's such an iconic costume. So how far can I push this? With each painting, I kept pushing it a little far, like, oh, get rid of that, move this over here. The final one, which is a triptych, is probably the one that's least, obvious, but even that, like, everybody recognizes it as Superman because it's got a red cape, yellow something on the chest, and a blue outfit with the yellow belt, and so yeah, everybody knows that Superman.
Right. The triptych, yeah. So to talk about that triptych then, because that's a major piece. I mean, we definitely know it's Superman in the context of what's happening here, but that's a pretty abstract work, that triptych, or it is for me. The colors are obvious, but that's as that's as kind of deconstructed as Superman can be, right? Again, we see it in context, but maybe I wouldn't have recognized that without the context. And it also still feels like a...
It was hard to walk away from that painting because I was like, I tend to be someone who compulsively wants to fill the space. And I'm like, oh, you just walk away. Just let it hang there. And there's one little, like, off to the right, there's like a squiggle that kind of moves to the second, from the second panel to the third panel and loops back a little bit. And I'm all, it's just a gesture that I intended to fill in. Like, it's like a sketch. And then I was all, no, just leave it. Just walk away. And it's really not in my nature to walk away from a painting that sort of undone. But I'm like, in terms of where it was in the gallery, it was right across from the black and white drawing of Christopher Reeves as Superman, complete head. And I was like, no, those two work together. Like, there's a conversation between those two pieces that I need to happen. And if you fill this thing in, you're going to ruin it. And so it was very hard for me. I'm like, no, just walk away. Leave it. It's done.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, you know, it's not an easy show, right? To for the viewer, there's something very painful about it. Just like seeing the death of any characters, death of Spider-Man, death of Superman. There's something that's seems monumental about it. We don't want Superman to die. He can't die, you know, really.
No. What does that mean for us?
Right. It means we're really, really in trouble. Or you know, I'm not sure what it means for us, but somehow it's very significant, right? For our hero to be dying or to be troubled seems to be almost unthinkable, because they're based on a kind of immortality, right?
Yeah, I mean, Superman can do everything. He never fails, which frankly is why the character in terms of like comic books is often boring, because there's nothing that can kill this guy outside of a rock, kryptonite or something, like, which is sort of a funny thing to like, oh, you know what'll kill him? This little rock over here. But outside of that, like, he always wins. So, I mean, as a kid, I always found Batman more compelling, because Batman is just a human with a bunch of cool toys, and he could be damaged and he could be hurt, whereas Superman, like, he always won. Like, that's not an exciting story. There's no cliffhangers if you know he's just going to fly away or zap somebody or freeze them or whatever, or turn back time. Like, he can kind of do everything. But it makes it makes it a fun character to kind of tear apart. It's like, you know, like, I mean, somewhere in the back of my head, I was like, okay, if Superman came up against a black hole, who wins? I'm like, well, the black hole wins, because Superman gets all of his power from the sun. Black hole can even absorb sunlight, so there's no way Superman could beat a black hole. And it doesn't show up in the show, and there's nowhere I'm not writing about it. I'm only talking about it now because you and I are having this conversation. But I was like, well, a black hole could defeat him. Just that big empty, that just big nothing space would definitely defeat Superman. That's who wins. The black hole wins. And I'm like, that's kind of where I feel like, I don't know, sometimes, some days I'm like, oh, we're just living in the black hole. Like, can't things get better? Can't things get better, please?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's so interesting. And in this show also, there's of course more on the theme of Superman. There's also versions of capes, right? These are pieces of cloth that are sometimes almost unrecognizable. I mean, in this context, of course, like you're saying, like the painting, we string it all together. But let's talk about those. Those are sculptural. These are capes in a sense, and some of them are complete, and some of them are in parts.
I sort of wanted to. I was looking at something, and somebody referred to Clark Kent as an empty suit. And also, I initially thought, oh, that's a good title for a show. And then it seemed too clever and too, I don't know. It just pointed in one direction too much. But I'm all, well, what if the Superman suit is the empty suit? And if you just, I like felt. It's kind of a fun material to work with. And so I was trying to make Superman costumes out of felt in which he just wasn't in them anymore. And for some of this, I'm just like, oh, formally, that just like is fun. And it kind of works. In a way, because everything else in the show, a lot of stuff's pretty flat. And so I'm like, just having the sculpture element, which even it's more of a relief, I guess. Like it just kind of worked, so it wasn't like flat square picture, flat square picture, flat square picture. I mean, it kind of provided a different thing in terms of how the show rotated around the gallery.
Right, yeah. And I would think, you know, a show like this, I wasn't there at the opening, so I would imagine it generates a certain amount of conversation, right? It's both nostalgic and it's troubling in the comic book narrative of it, like, you know, what's happening to Superman, but also as we all might project that narrative onto the world or ourselves. Was there conversations that were occurring like that, or that people talked about?
At the opening, I think what dominated the thing is that I made this game that only showed up at the opening, and it was I made a mock-up of the city, and then I put little characters on top of each of the buildings, and I made a contraption in which you directed Superman to fly over the city, and the goal was to kill as many of the bad things as possible without killing these little baby figures, because you wanted to save the babies. And each thing had a point value. If you killed a baby, it was a negative points. If you killed a bad thing, it was positive points. And so honestly, at the opening, there were a lot of people playing this game, and there was like prizes. I gave away Superman paintings, and there was a Superman figure made out of chewing gum, which was surprisingly hard to find gum that's blue. I don't know why. That was harder than I would have thought, because after you chewed it a while, it just kind of turned gray. So anyway, most of the stuff at the opening was just people having a good time playing this game. And if there was any conversation that came back to me, I mean, I wasn't in the gallery, so the people who worked at the gallery could probably discuss this more. But the conversations that came back to me, mostly through Instagram, were people just talking about their feelings about Superman and what their childhood memories of Superman. It's sort of, I think it's triggered something where people were like, oh, yeah, my Superman was the George Reeves Superman. My Superman is the Dean Cain Superman. My Superman is like, I remember the first exposure was this thing. So I think people just sort of enjoyed thinking about a character they love, mostly. And my painter friends, we mostly talked about the formal qualities of the paintings, because I think, I don't know, when I have conversations with my friends painters, we often just talk about how the paintings are working compositionally. And I think the conversation is less about the concept of the painting, more about like, oh, wow, that you really worked that section well. This blue works with that orange or whatever. So the conversations were more like, in terms of stuff I've done in the past, they would comment on like, wow, this is really loose. This is more expressionistic than I'm used to seeing from you. So those are most of the conversations I've had, but I think the people in the gallery probably heard things differently.
Yeah, it's such rich material for talking about, I would think, you know, sort of childhood relationships as well as adult relationships, because those are also, you know, it's an archetype, really, right? The Superman. I mean,
I think you could probably go to anywhere in the world and you could probably show a picture of that costume and the guy in the costume, and I think most people are going to know what it is. It's like a Nike logo. It just kind of fits every. Of course, everybody knows this. It's printed on cups and toothbrushes and T-shirts and shoes and hats and I don't know, pretty much anything. I used to have this idea, I thought that like in the New York Times, which we get every day, I'll bet I could find a picture or a description of Batman in every single newspaper, and And it would be like a reporter would refer to someone as the Caped Crusader, or refer to the city as Gotham, or there'd be a photograph from a refugee camp, and there'd be somebody in the camp with a Batman shirt, and I'm like, these things. I started to cut them out, and I have a whole book now that's just all pictures of Batman from the New York Times. But it's like Superman is kind of the same thing. It's so ubiquitous that you know it without even having to know it. It's just there.
Right. Yeah, it's so kind of omnipresent. It's It's great talking to you about this show. For the listeners, of course, there's links here so they can explore these images and the show online. And I want to ask you one more question before we go a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
I was trying to think. Last night I've been reading Steinbeck's America and the Americans. It's just a collection of his reporting. And I always just like reading Steinbeck. I don't know, maybe it's because he's Californian and I'm a Californian, and I enjoy his writing. And I was also reading the oral history of No Means No, which is a Canadian band that I absolutely loved in high school and college. And I don't know, one of those bands that I'm like, they should have been a lot more popular, but I don't think they really gave it. Like, I don't think they cared about being popular. So, but a book came out a couple years ago about that band, and so I was reading that too.
I want to thank you so much for talking with me today, Mark. It's really been a pleasure. I wish you well. I hope listeners get a chance to explore more and check this out online at the very least. Thanks again, Mark, for talking with me today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for asking.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.